Good morning. Good morning and happy Easter to you. Yes, I know. We had it last Sunday, and the season of Easter continues as we celebrate that Christ is risen. We continue those celebrations right up to Pentecost. So we are glad that you are here with us this morning. Whether you have been here your whole life or this is your first time worshiping with us, we are glad that you found your way to this worshiping community. Your bulletin is full of announcements and calendars and opportunities, the ways in which that we here at Gates Presbyterian Church are church together through worship and fellowship, mission and learning opportunities. If you have a question, don't hesitate to ask someone around you this morning. And we are very glad that you are here to celebrate at the table. This morning we will be celebrating the Sacrament of Communion, and the table is open to all. So please feel free as you are comfortable and feeling called by God to do so. We have a few announcements this morning. One is that we keep Carol Ann in prayer as she's at the Final Four basketball game. So we'll pray for her, but we won't feel sorry for her. So, but we definitely keep Carol Ann in prayer. And Carrie, you have an announcement.
Today is the last day to sign up for the paranormal investigations leg of the Spirit Journey. Also, next Sunday is the last Sunday to sign up for the wine and cheese leg. And also next Sunday, after worship, we're going to have another program on, planning future burial or funeral services. We'll also have Barb Snaith from the Memorial Garden Committee. We'll be talking about, have information on the Memorial Garden. And we'll also have information on the GPC funeral policy. So that'll be next Sunday after worship in the Adult Lounge.
Good morning. I have it on authority that there is no senior high Sunday school today. Youth group for senior highs only starts at 12:15, so the timing is off a little bit there. So I just want to put it out there. If you want to come and play games in the senior high lounge to kill that extra little bit of time before our pizza arrives around 12:15, that would give you something to do. Senior highs only. Okay, thank you.
Are there any other announcements this morning? Friends, then let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our whole entire selves to worship God. you are comfortable and able for the call to worship that is printed in your bulletin. In the light of resurrection,
we will live out our faith.
In the drops of water,
we will trust the promise of grace.
In the crumbs of bread broken,
we will proclaim our Savior risen.
In the community at the empty tomb,
we will lead what the world has not.
In the gravestone now rolled away,
we will break out in the joy of resurrection.
Confession as printed in your bulletin. We are called to be your witnesses, Holy God, of all that we have seen and heard at the empty tomb. We confess that we deny your resurrection when we fail to love those we meet, bring hope to those in despair, and don't live our life gratitude and praise. Fill us with your grace that overcomes our greatest fear. Let's now have a moment of silent prayers of confession. How can we keep from singing? How can we keep our lips from proclaiming the good news? Jesus Christ is risen and brings healing and forgiveness to all. We have new life in his name.
Invite the children forward, and I also invite Kellen and Brendan Hall, Karen and Mike Hall, and also Tom Ward forward. Good morning. We're going to come over here. Ready? Good morning. Good morning. Hi, friends. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. How are you? And happy Easter. Did you know it's still Easter? You know that if you were listening when I, you know, started this morning, right? One of the greatest celebrations that we have here in the life of the church to celebrate Easter happens right here behind me. Does anyone know what's back here? The baptismal font. We get to celebrate baptism this morning of two of your friends, Kellen and Brendan Hall. And also this morning, their mom is going to join the church. And so when someone joins the church, they get to say yes to those promises of God's love over and over again, and we have a chance to get to know them a little bit better. So Tom is going to tell us first a little bit more about Tom. Go ahead.
Good morning. It's just in case you were sleeping out there. I wanted to wake you up because this is an important, exciting moment in the church. Karen Hall is best thing that ever happened to the Westside YMCA. We had 500 members, and when Karen joined, we went to 15,000 almost overnight. So I have the privilege of working with Karen part-time at the YMCA, where she's working as a ready-fit coach and a million zillion other things. She's always willing to take on extra tasks and jobs, and she's over here helping to organize the church's 5K that's coming up on June 29th. And Karen is a transplant to us from Long Island. Her mom is here visiting from Long Island. Say hello to mom. Where are you? There she is, Janet. And she came here to go to school at Geneseo and liked it so much in this area that she stayed. Somehow she managed to find her way to Gates, and we're very glad that she did. And she's got two very handsome young men over here, Kellen and Brendan, that you'll get to see in just a moment, getting their baptism. And I've been watching these kids grow up. They come into my office for candy over at the Y. And they're both just wonderful young guys, great students and everything else. So please introduce yourself to them and get to know them better.
All right. I'm going to have Kellen and Brendan and their mom and dad. Woo! See, you guys wait for it. It always happens. There you go. We got it out of the way this week. And I also am going to invite Eric is going to come forward. Eric is an elder who serves on session. So hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am always with you to the close of the age. And obeying these words and confident in his promises, we baptize those whom God has called. In baptism, God claims us and seals us to show that we belong to God. God frees us from sin and death, uniting us with Jesus in his death and resurrection. By the water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, the body of Christ, and joined to Christ's ministry of love and peace and justice. So let us all remember our baptisms with joy this morning as we celebrate this sacrament.
On behalf of the session, I present Kellen and Brendan, sons of Mike and Karen, to receive the sacrament of baptism.
Mike and Karen, do you desire for Kellen and Brendan to be baptized?
and relying on God's grace, you promise to live the Christian faith and teach that to your children.
Do you, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, promise to guide and nurture Kellen and Brendan by word and deed, in love and prayer, encouraging them to know and to follow Christ and to be a faithful members of His church? If so, please say, we do.
Karen and Mike, in presenting Brendan and Kellen for baptism, you announce your faith in Jesus Christ and embrace the covenant God has established to give us new life. As God embraces you within this covenant, I ask you to reject sin, to profess your faith in Jesus Christ, and to confess the faith of the church, the faith in which we baptize. In answering these questions, Karen, you will also be reaffirming your faith and becoming a member of this church. Karen and Mike, is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? And do you trust in Him? And do you intend for Brendan and Kellen to be His disciples, to obey His word and show His love? And Karen, will you be a faithful member of this congregation, giving yourself in every way, and will you seek the fellowship of the church wherever you may be? Let us pray. God, our holy parent, we thank you for your faithfulness promised in this sacrament and for the hope we have in your Son, Jesus. As we baptize with this water, baptize us with the Holy Spirit, so that what we say may be your word and what we do may be your work. By your power, may we be made one with Christ our Lord in common faith and purpose. Eternal God, you nourish and sustain all living things with the gift of water. Your Spirit hovers and moves, calling forth order and life. May all who splash in these waters experience new life through you. Amen. Kellen. Alan Roger, I baptize you in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God promises you new life and love in these waters. Brendan Michael. Brendan Michael, I baptize you in the name of the Father. In the name of the Father. And in the name of the Holy Spirit. God's love is for you. Amen. Beautiful, wonderful children of God, let us pray together. God, you mark us with these waters. You get us all wet. We splash in them, and we remember your grace and love, which is for all of us. We give thanks for Kellen and Brendan. Watch over them. Guide them as they grow in faith. Give them understanding and quick concern for their neighbors. God, help them to love you, to love each other, love all that they meet. God, be with us all as we continue to live into these promises, to grow in faith and nurture and pray for all those who splash in these waters. Amen. Congratulations, you guys. All right, you all can go to Sunday school. That work? Yeah.
first reading of the word this morning comes from the Psalms, Psalm 118. The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. There are glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has punished me severely, but he did not give me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever.
Thank you.
our second reading from the Word comes from the book of Acts, chapter 5. We'll only be reading verses 27 through 32 this morning. When the Sadducees had brought the disciples, they had them stand before the council. And the high priest questioned the apostles, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in his name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." A few weeks ago, I was at my daughter's elementary school for an open house. As most moms, I relish in the opportunity to peek into her life that she leads separately from mine for most of the day. So Matt and I went, and we oohed and we awed at the artwork hanging in the wall, hanging in the hallways. And of course, we rolled our eyes at the messiness of her little cubby. And my heart melted to see all the little encouraging notes that I write her saved in her desk. Lily, on the other hand, was so over her parents making a big deal about her schoolwork, and she moved on to the more practical purposes for our visit. If the school librarian could just get our permission, she could check out chapter books in the library on library day. To raise a kid who gets really excited about the big kid books in the library. And so once we spoke to the librarian and gave our permission, Lily started showing us around to the different sections that she could now check books out from. And there was one section that caught my eye. The 200 section. It had a little sign on the shelf that read, "Religion." And on the shelf, there weren't any books. None. Oh, that's interesting. But part of me wasn't that surprised. When the rhetoric is so contentious about any kind of religion in public school, how do you even begin to choose for elementary school kids what religions to talk about or share and whose perspective gets included? Which is kind of too bad. To be part of a country where the Constitution and national heritage encourage mutual respect for people of various faiths and those who hold no religious faith at all. And yet millions and millions of dollars are spent by groups and individuals attempting to defend a position in the real or perceived cultural war between the secular humanists and people of faith. That's bothersome enough, but what's even more so is it isn't just the money. It's the name-calling and the hostility and the hatred expressed in religious indignation to obey God rather than men. That would be the King James Version interpretation of the text that we read this morning from the book of Acts. The phrase may be familiar, to obey God rather than men or human authority. For those of us who grew up in the 1950s and 60s, successfully arguing for civil disobedience in the face of repressive authorities and racist laws, For those of us born a few decades later, it's fascinating that our encounters with this bit of scripture is primarily from those fighting to overturn abortion laws, protest marriage equality, or lobbying for public school and prayer. But no matter our generation, let's not forget that this phrase was used for centuries to justify the demonization of the Jewish opposition to the first Christians. The tension of understanding what it means to obey God rather than human authority cannot or need not be denied for the context of our scripture reading this morning. But it is imperative for us to understand this is not about Christian versus Jew any more than it is for today's Christian versus everybody else. This is all about the will of the Lord Jesus Christ, who works for justice and compassion, expressed through a life of community, whatever branch of the human family tree they may represent. And this is not always easy to categorize, like on a library shelf. So it's what I ultimately told myself about the empty shelf at the library. Once the earliest followers of Jesus, like Peter and the other disciples, leave the empty tomb on Easter morning in the Gospel of Luke that we read last week, they return to Jerusalem and subsequently are the witnesses of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. And now they're trying to figure out what this means. Not only up here, but in here, and how it is that they are living out their everyday life. And from these earliest chapters in the book of Acts, it appears that the preaching and teaching they are doing about all of this are having some considerable effects, because the authorities, both religious and political, are really anxious. They arrest Peter and several others for a second time, and they drag him. It's kind of a court, but not really. The Sanhedrin, the religious council that uneasily share the power with the Roman civil authority. And the trial, such as it is, begins with this stern reminder of prior injunctions to keep their mouths shut about Jesus. We gave you strict orders not to teach in his name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. Peter and those other unnamed apostles with him answer this quite accurate charge like a Greek chorus, a reply that we will hear and have heard for generations now. We must obey God rather than any human authority. Obviously, the tension for Paul and those apostles that they are feeling is not going to be as imminent for us. Nevertheless, this text, with its call to obey God rather than human authority, has a word to say to us this morning. We, who would be followers of Christ, baptized in the waters with him, and sharing at the table of this meal, are always in danger of forgetting that the ways human authorities, or this can just be translated humanity, the world, press in on us. It's not always so obvious. But for us, there's this temptation to blend in. It's so powerful. And let's be honest, it has nothing to do with fighting for books on a library shelf or praying at school. I personally happen to think that teachers and administrators have enough to do with our kids, getting them ready for standardized tests. So we as parents, grandparents, family of faith, like we affirmed this morning in those baptism promises, that we are responsible for the faith formation not only of our children, but of one another. And the question that many of us may be asking then is, yeah, right, when am I supposed to have the time to do that? The most challenging, I believe, of all human authority that we face in the world today is illustrated well in the question, how you doing today? We used to answer, I'm fine. Over the past few years, I've noticed a subtle shift. Someone asks us, how you doing? I'm busy. And don't point fingers at parents today. Whatever the generation, busy has become this badge of pride we wear to stay distracted from what is really going on in the world, in our families, in our own selves today. And another human authority that pulses under the very fabric of this nation is the way we compartmentalize or divide these busy lives into these different realms and different rules and different ends. We try to get everything to fit in the box, or at least on the calendar here. It's in here somewhere, including ourselves. There is who we are and what we do at work and at school, at home, at church, not to mention all of those other places and selves in the in-between, revealing this disconnect between who we are and what we believe and how we live when it comes to sorting out all those boxes. Let me share a parable about this larger point of conforming with you from a book called Brother to a Dragonfly. Novelist and preacher Will Campbell relates a conversation between himself and a friend of his, P.D., the non-church-going editor of a small town in Mississippi, and the weekly newspaper. So P.D., the newspaper editor, begins on the offense. You know, preacher, that church of yours is like an Easter chicken my little Karen got one time. Man, it was a pretty little thing. Dyed in a deep purple. Bought it at the grocery store. Writing in the first person, Campbell says, I interrupted that white was the liturgical color for Easter, but he ignored me, and P.D. went on. And it served a real useful purpose. Karen loved it. It made her happy. And that made me and her mama happy. Okay? The preacher said, okay. P.D. continues with his chicken story. But pretty soon, that purple baby chicken started feathering out. You know, sprouting little pin feathers, wings and tail and all that. And you know what? Them new feathers weren't purple. No siree, Bob. Mississippi, remember? That chicken wasn't purple after all. That chicken was a Rhode Island red. And when all them little red feathers started growing out from under the purple, it was one heck of a sight. All of a sudden, Karen couldn't stand that chicken anymore. I think I see what you're driving at, P.D., Campbell answers. No, preacher, you don't understand any such thing, for I haven't gotten to my point yet. We took that half-purple, half-red thing out to her grandma's house and threw it in the chicken yard with all the other chickens. It was still a little different, you understand, and all the other chickens knew it was different. And they resisted it, pecked it, chased it all over the yard. Wouldn't have anything to do with it. And the little chicken knew it was different too. It wouldn't bother any of the others. Wouldn't fight back or anything. really suffered too. But little by little, day by day, that chicken came around. Pretty soon, even before all the purple stuff grew off, that darn thing was behaving just like all the rest of them chickens. It would fight back and peck ones littler than it was, knock them down to catch a bug, if it got to it in time. Yes, sirree, Bob. There's that Mississippi again. The chicken. The chicken world turned that Easter chicken around. And now you can't tell one chicken from another. In a lot of ways, this American chicken yard we live in is out to make us Easter chicks just like all the rest of the chickens. Human authorities, humanity works away at us, entices us, cajoles us, whispers to us, conform, be like us. And oh, they tolerantly add, you can have your church thing, your Sunday self, but it's not very realistic. It's not how the world really works. So don't go and mix it up with your Monday world. The question before us this morning and tomorrow morning, do the waters of baptism that we celebrated here this morning, do they flow into your Monday world to reveal the ways in which we join in Christ's ministry of love and peace and justice? It is our risen Savior that calls us to this table, gives us love to tell and bread to share. We'll sing about it in a minute. Does our Monday world celebrate the joy of abundance we are blessed with by intentionally committing time and energy and resources to building the body of Christ? Friends, we are witnesses of the good news. May each and every day of our life proclaim the joy that Jesus Christ is risen today. Alleluia. Amen. Friday is past, and we celebrate on this side of the cross, no matter how many times we might hit our head on it. And we speak of life from death, and we come to this table, this feast of life that takes all our past and redeems with it life. So come to the table, for our risen Lord is ready to meet us here with the bread of life and the cup of salvation. Friends, the Lord is with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks for this.
How good it is on this day of joy, O God, to lift our glad songs and praise to you, Redeemer of the lost. You planted your steadfast love in the gardens of creation, but we ate the bitter fruit of idolatry and sin. Prophets came in your name, bringing your gracious word, but we could not hear them call our name. When we were about to perish, when we could have died, you sent the one who could bear that threat away. So we join our voices with all those who seek you in every time and place, calling upon you with hope. Holy, 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 God our God, heaven and earth behold your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who lies in the way of sin and death. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, God of Easter. We meet you at this table to hear and experience the whole of salvation story. Here remember the ways your Son Jesus lived with us, sharing joy and sorrow. He told your story, healed the sick, and was friends of sinners. He shared your feast, waiting along with the world for justice, renewal, and new life. His life, his words, his death, his resurrection are mysteries we may not understand completely, but which we will proclaim with faith. Christ died. Witness to the world.
Christ rose, loving God with all that he wants. Christ will come, blessing us forever.
Pour out your Holy Spirit upon this bread and cup, resurrecting God, and upon us who seek to be your children. When we are done eating and drinking with our risen Lord, send us forth to feed the hungry. Served at the table by the one who freed us from death, we would go out to be servants of the poor and oppressed in this world. God, through Christ, glory, honor, and praise, thanksgiving are yours. You are our new life with the Holy Spirit in your holy people on this first day of the week and in all days to come. Amen. We give thanks that Jesus, having faith in those who gathered those friends around a similar table. And on the night before he gave himself over to the authorities for his own death, so that they might remember those early disciples and know how God's bread gives strength. He took the common bread and he made it holy. Just like he takes common people and makes us whole. To remember, he asks us to repeat this act again and again. And he did so, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, and do this in remembrance of me." He also knew that we cannot live by bread alone. And so he took the cup, as he did the bread, and he poured it so that we might remember the sight and the sound. And he shared it among us, saying, "This is faith made new, faith you wouldn't even know how to ask for. Faith that will surprise you, and faith that will sustain you. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." We break this bread and we drink from this cup, giving thanks for the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. This is a celebration of God's new life and love, for we are Easter people, celebrating this morning and every day. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us celebrate together. is the body of Christ, broken for each one of us. Taste and see the goodness and grace of God.
Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for meeting us here in this meal and nourishing us with your life. May we go from here eager to share your promises of justice, forgiveness, and grace. Amen.
And we come together filled by the love of God, and we share that love with one another. We express our prayers of joy and our prayers of concern. If you have one, raise your hand so we can see it, and the ushers will bring a microphone to you.
Tracy Vander, I wish for prayers for actually two good friends, one whose mother has cancer and the other one whose father has cancer, and both parents are most likely don't have that much time to live.
Cheryl Fennell. Prayers for my mother tomorrow, who's having carotid artery surgery. And also just want to, prayers of celebration, our grandson Charlie turned 3 months last week, and he's doing just fine. So thank you.
Amen.
Our family welcomed a new nephew. Liam Hugh was born this week, and he's doing great.
Prayer celebration and a little bit of parental bragging. Our son Scott successfully defended his doctoral thesis on Thursday and will be moving back to Rochester for the first time in 10 years. And also our son Rob is here this morning with his lovely fiance Kate.
We also have prayers for Marjorie Woods, who died on this week. And her memorial service will be Thursday at 11 a.m. at DiPanzio's funeral home, Thursday, 11 a.m. If you have any questions, you can ask me following worship. And also prayers for Jean Mason, who entered hospice this week. We also have prayers of joy and concern from our children this morning. Prayers of joy for grandmas and grandpas who are visiting, for new toy sets and happy birthdays. Prayers of joy for a sister who did well in Color Guard Championship. Prayers for neighbors or our neighbors whose dog passed away. Prayers of joy for a new niece that was born. Prayers of joy for riding on roller coasters. Yeah. And of course, the greatest joy of all, prayers, I was baptized today. Amen. Amen. Let us continue our time of prayer. Holy God, you love all your children, and the tomb has been opened, and we dance into your future. Your life has dawned on us, and we surround you with our praise. You reach out your hand, and now lead us in joy. Loving God, we offer up these prayers of concern this day for those struggling to rebuild lives, from natural and human-made disasters, from failed economies, from failed governments, from a failure to live as your people, demonstrating compassion, peace, and justice. We also pray for those struggling with illness and with grief. God, we pray for Jean, who is in hospice care, for the family and friends of Marjorie Woods, who entered life triumphant. God, we celebrate and we rejoice that the old life has passed away, and in you, in your resurrection, in your life and love, everything becomes new. We offer all these prayers, both spoken aloud and in the silence of our hearts, and in the words your Son Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom. have been blessed, and we rejoice and offer back to God a portion of those blessings. Let us celebrate with our morning offering.
Heavenly Father, we bring these tithes and offerings as a token of our thankfulness for your continued blessings upon us. Help us to use them to further your kingdom here on earth. Please accept them and multiply their effectiveness so that your will may be accomplished. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
All right, Nathan and Roy, if we're going to help these folks be Monday Christians, Easter Christians, we're going to have to do so with some good tempo this morning. So let's dance and sing.
Thank you.
good reminder that as we go out dancing in this world, it's inevitable we'll step on each other's toes a few times. But we keep singing, we keep dancing, because Jesus Christ is risen, and the grace of God surrounds us, and the love of Christ fills us, and the Holy Spirit keeps us dancing. Alleluia. Amen.
Oh, there you go.